Off the Ball. GAA.
What is it about the Dingle Peninsula that creates such great football? Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? There's a storied tradition down there, and they're obviously on a crest of a wave at the minute.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from Munster head coach Clayton McMillan after his side got dumped out of the Champions Cup. Dermot Barron on the discipline issues that have plagued the men in red over recent weeks. Ireland sweat on the fitness of four key players just 2 weeks out from the Six Nations. And Jack Nienaber on the battle at Leinster between Sam Prendergast and Harry Byrne. But first today, Munster continue to lick their wounds after being dumped out of the Champions Cup last Saturday evening by Cast at Thomond Park. A 2-point defeat condemned Clint McMillan's side to a place in the Challenge Cup, where they'll take on Exeter Chiefs away from home in the last 16 in April. Munster are once again punished for their ill-discipline, as Tom Farrell was sent to the bin in the second half. And this has become a theme of recent Munster performances, and hooker Dermot Barron said that it ultimately has cost them.
Look, discipline has been a common theme for us over the last few weeks. Some sloppy errors that we need to improve upon if we're going to look to go deep in any competition. Teams are too good now, and they'll punish you too much if you're ill-disciplined, and that's one of the few areas. But yeah, we've got to be better there.
And on Monday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, former Munster back row Alan Quillen joined Cullen Buhig and Jerry Gilroy and said that Munster lacked accuracy in their kicking.
About the number of points they conceded when they were they had a player in the bin.
And that's happened in Bath, it happened in Toulon.
14 points of the weekend.
14 points, three in a row.
Yeah.
And you feel like that's a game management issue as much as anything. If it happens once, you're like, okay, fair enough, we need to absorb the lessons from it. If it happens twice, you're like, okay,
it is,
that's
Jared,
our fault. Third time round, you're like, well, have we no plan? Did we not talk about this?
Having a pragmatic approach in that situation and see teams manage it, you're not South Africa, who can probably play with 13 players and still manage the game, because you can, you know, put the ball out, they can still scrummage with a man down, they can hold on to the ball, they have big power carriers. So it's not as simple as that, but certainly kicking well, having a good kick chase, putting the opposition, being patient as well in that kicking. But it's not accurate enough, and it's a big part of the game. You know, when you're just kicking the ball up the field, I said it last week against Toulon, you know, Shane Daly kicks the ball up to the biggest attacking threat in the field, and they're 6 points up at this stage. They've just won a penalty. They kicked it up the touchline. They lose the line out. It's hacked through. And that's the time. Just put it in the stand and just say it. You know, just slow down here. Yeah. Fine. We've lost ground. Toulon now have the line out. But at least you get your defence set. You get your line out set. You get your tail gunners at the line out set. You know, it's a different scenario. You don't want to... Because, before the game, I knew he's an incredibly dangerous counter-attacker. And he scores lots of tries for Toulon.
Yeah.
So you kick a ball to him. Your defence and line-out and players are all over the shop. So you don't have a solid defence set up. So it's managing that time better. Obviously, when you have a numerical advantage in rugby, it can really tell. And teams train and practice as to if there's a player in the bin, where are we going to do? What do we do? How do we attack? How do we keep the ball alive? And the flip side of that is, how do we defend well and manage a game when we're down a player? Because nearly every team, you know, suffers that fate at some stage.
Yeah.
During a game, and they seem to capitulate and be really affected by that.
And remember, you can tune into Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Head coach Clint McMillan said that Saturday's loss was devastating for the players.
Look, if I just go back after the game, I think, you know, there was huge disappointment. There was as much disappointment as I've seen in the changing room, no matter what environment I've been in. So that shows how much it sort of hurt the players. To their credit, they've turned up today in a good frame of mind. We did a deep dive this morning, our reviews in the morning, amongst other things, usually take about an hour. Good couple of hours this morning, searching for a few answers and some accountability around the performances and how we can do better.
Next for Munster, from a European perspective, is the Exeter Chiefs away from home after the Six Nations. McMillan says that they are not delighted to be in the European Challenge Cup.
There's nobody in this building that's happy about receiving the consolation prize of having to go and play in the Challenge Cup. But we also understand that though we have a rich history and in the Champions Cup, that that history doesn't give us a rite of passage there. We've got to earn our right to be there. And, you know, there's been lots, I think, to be proud about and around how our game is progressing. But ultimately, it hasn't been good enough. And when you play against quality teams in a competition where you're playing the best in Europe, small things are the big things. And it's the accumulation of lots of small things that have really hurt us, I think, all season, but also in particular the last couple of weeks. Because, you know, when the stakes rise, those little things, you know, are magnified. Whereas if you win, sometimes it's a little easier to probably brush past some of those and convince yourself that you're a better team than you actually are. And one thing I think we've been pretty open and honest about right from the get-go, even when we're on a run of wins early on in the season, has been realistic around the performances and where we're actually at now. You know, we haven't made the gains that we needed to get through the European Cup, but there's a long way to go.
Munster take on the Dragons in the URC on Friday. With players away in international duty, plus some injuries ahead of the trip to South Africa in March, McMillan says it gives them time for the team to work on things on the training ground.
The first week in February will be a week off. I think just going on a 10-week stretch, so a bit of time away from the environment is probably a smart thing to do. That's been locked in, wouldn't have changed if we'd won every game. And then we've just got to be smart, I think, around, you know, how do we utilise the time in the 2 weeks before, well, the 3 weeks before we play Zebre. In the last week of February, I think, is going to be critical. Obviously represents an opportunity to refresh, but to also evolve our game and really nail down on the things that are potentially letting us down now, that in short turnarounds. Last week was, you know, we had a short turnaround, we had a six-day turnaround. This week we have a six-day turnaround. There's only so much you can cover. You've got to chew off sort of the big rocks. But that period will give us another little opportunity to iron out a few things and evolve our game.
Whilst Alan Quillen wants to see the team evolve with fresh blood.
I think it's time Sean Odogbo, Edwin Odogbo, Michael Foy, Brian Gleeson, Ruan Quinn, I think these guys all need to be starting now. Edwin Odogbo's brother, Sean, he's another powerful beast of a player. That's how you can get a point of difference here. It's not by going out signing two overseas players. I think some of these players have to be unleashed. Evan O'Connell needs to go into the team. Lineout has been all over the shop for a consistent basis now, and he's a lineout specialist.
And if you're looking for even more in-depth Munster chat, you can listen to the Red 78 podcast this week with Alan Quinlan, Fiona Hayes and Rory O'Hagan. Just search the Red 78 wherever you get your podcasts. The Leinster quartet of Robbie Henshaw, Tadhg Furlong, Jimmy O'Brien and Tommy O'Brien are all doubts over their fitness with just over 2 weeks from the start of the Six Nations. With Andy Farrell due to name his Six Nations squad on Wednesday, he hoped that his all four will be included, but an injury update from Leinster earlier today after the Champions Cup victory went to Bayonne will be of some concern. Jimmy O'Brien picked up a hamstring injury in that game, Henshaw a knee injury, while Furlong and Tommy O'Brien both suffered calf injuries. Ireland centre Henshaw suffered a knee injury in the 34th minute, while wing Tommy O'Brien pulled up with a calf injury just after the break. Fullback Jimmy O'Brien was taken off near the end due to injury, and at the time Cullen said he believed they were mostly soft tissue injuries. All four will be assessed later in the week by Leinster ahead of their URC clash with Connacht at the Dexcom Stadium on Saturday. There is better news elsewhere for Leinster and Ireland, however, as both Kieran Frawley and Jack Conan are available for the trip to Connacht, while both Hugo Keenan and Jamie Osborne continue their recovery from serious injuries. Meanwhile, Connacht tighthead prop Finlay Beelam is currently injured. Alongside Leinster and Ireland loosehead prop Andrew Porter, who can cover tighthead, is expected to miss the opening round of the Six Nations against France on the 5th of February. Paddy McCarthy, who dovetailed with Porter in the November internationals, is also sidelined with a foot issue. Leinster defence coach Shaq Nienaber was in front of the media today, and as a battle for the 10 shirt continues between Sam Prendergast and Harry Byrne, Nienaber says that they are driving each other to new heights.
I think even this weekend with Sam's try, I mean, Harry set him up with a chip over the top. So I think the key is between the two players. They are very much knowing that they are competing, but the competitiveness is healthy, if I can put it like that. And it's always competing, but what is the best for the team? So what does the team need? I mean, even Sam going on his 15 this weekend and last week, also having to move over to cover 15. I mean, whatever lengths they need. And then nobody, no position, no player, no coach, no management member can be better or can be bigger than Leinster. So I think that's the key. And we have to live that. I mean, the club's been here since 1976, 79. So, I mean, we're only going to be here for splits. Even if you are here, like Church have been here for how many years, 18 years or whatever the case may be. It's only a small blip in the time frame of the existence of the club. So you're only here for a small time. So the club's the most big, the most important thing. So I think that's the beauty of the two players. They are competing, but in a healthy manner, and they are working with each other for whatever is the best for the team.
And finally today, Sarah Cox, the world's first professional female rugby union referee, is a retire from international officiating. Cox became centrally contracted by the English RFU in 2016 and has officiated at the last five Women's Rugby World Cups. She's been a referee in the last three, having been an assistant referee in 2014 and 2010. The Exeter officials' 51 international matches is the most officiated by a female referee, the last of which was New Zealand's quarterfinal win over South Africa at Sandy Park in last year's World Cup. Cox will continue to referee at the top levels of the men's and women's games in England. She's also a regular official in the Premiership Women's Rugby, as well as the men's Prem. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. Remember, you'll be able to get this week's edition of Monday Night Rugby with Gerry Thornley and Liam Toland in your OTB Rugby podcast feed now. I'm David Wilson. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.